Hey there, this is Mobile Agent TV, helping agents stay on the cutting edge from coast to coast.
Welcome to Mobile Agent TV. I am Michael Thorne of REMAX Little Oak Realty in Langley, BC. Having a technical error, our co-host, as always, is Dave Falkworth from Bridgewater, New Jersey's REMAX Preferred Professionals in the Enviro Realty team. Dave, how you doing?
Fantastic, man.
Okay, so here's what happened.
Feeling like Superman today.
You are feeling now why are you feeling like Superman today?
Well, we got like six closings here over the next since yesterday, today, and through the beginning of the week, we got six closings. So, you know, that's good stuff.
That is good stuff. Now, that was our technical error to start the show. I got kicked off just as I clicked go live. I came back on. I think that was broadcast. The new intro, I don't know if you even got to see that, Dave, but we got a new intro.
I heard a voice over there.
Yes. Now the new intro graphics by former guest Kevin Tangen and new intro voiceover by former guest and radio trained Terry Conrad. So
is that who did that? Terry?
Yeah. Aww. Pretty nice.
What do we have to pay her for that?
I haven't got the bill yet, but it's probably gonna be steep. Now, just to be as lighthearted as we can about the technical error that started the beginning of the show. I love the fact, Dave, that we've been on air and doing this long enough that there are some running jokes that happen with our program. There is the, you got to put them in the car, you've got all these sort of things. The fact that I'm legally obligated, not really, to mention Bomb Bomb and Raj Kazar every episode, there I'm done. Little of these jokes like this. So I get an email from today's guest saying, can you please send me the link and are there any issues about getting on? Because I don't want to pull a Roar Rig. That's what referring to Scott's problem. It was almost the Seinfeld version of yada yada yada. He didn't want to pull a Roar Rig, so I'm glad that.
Did we like just have to do? We didn't have video with him, right? Is that how that was?
Yeah, we did the show with him text messaging us through Facebook, and then he came back on the show next time. But
Carla, same thing with Carla. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah. So during the broadcast, you can interact with us. You can interact with us on Twitter using the hashtag MATVLive, as well as you can get us on Twitter at MobileAgentTV. There's already a lot of tweets happening there, so I'll keep an eye on that.
Uh-oh.
As well as, yes, exactly. I'll make sure that I've got the Q&A function on. I don't know if I do or not. I've had the cameraman on you the whole time there, Dave. I'm being flustered here. Wanted to mention a really great thing that REMAX Ontario Atlantic does. It's called Camp REMAX. And for 8 weeks during the summer, there's a webinar once a day. It's every Thursday. And they sort of take you through this learning process. The idea is it's our downtime, although you understand, Dave, we don't have downtime. But the idea is if you're going to start implementing new stuff into your business, summertime is the time to do it. And so whether you're up at the cabin, you're on vacation, you've got your iPhone, your iPad, your computer with you, you can join these webinars and learn. Last year I took the 8 weeks of Camp REMAX, and it was actually themed about going to camp every week and learned a ton, and it was fantastic. This year, Camp REMAX is going to be a road trip. So they're going to take you on a road trip, a virtual road trip, and there's going to be a lot of great learning on it. So if you are in Ontario Atlantic, you can go to bestagent.ca and sign up, but if you're not, if you're an agent from somewhere else, there's spots available. All you have to do is go to facebook.com/CampREMAX and sign up there. It starts July 3rd every Thursday and runs for 8 weeks. Now, last year, I think they started at 10 o'clock Eastern, and I complained that I'd be up and incoherent at 7 a.m. I think they bumped it back an hour, I think. So us on the West Coast, 8 o'clock, cup of coffee, yep. Get some learning in before you get your day started. So definitely encourage everyone to go and check out Camp REMAX. Today's guest is Brett Calthorpe. And as always, we read out our guest's 160 Twitter bio. Maybe my favorite Twitter handle of all time. You can get him at REMAX Jedi. And his 160 Twitter bio reads, Real Estate Business Development Specialist, Inman News Contributor, American Canadian?
Yeah, American Canadian.
We'll talk about that. Digital media, networking junkie, wannabe rock star, now retired, and a runner. Welcome to the show, Brett.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, guys. How are you?
Fantastic. Now, let's start in a couple things, Brett. Let's talk about that part of your Twitter handle. the fact that you are a American Canadian, because when I sat down with you and we had dinner a couple weeks back, and you told me your story about how you ended up in Vancouver, and we're going to talk about change, and we're going to talk about embracing and not being complacent a little bit today, spinning off of last week's episode with Nathan Dart. Mm-hmm. But when you told me the story, I was like, oh, I don't know if I've got the guts to do what you've done. So just explain maybe your history about how that American-Canadian is in your handle, and as well as your history in real estate, that is the sort of journey of how you got here to begin with.
Sure. Well, I appreciate it. Well, first off, yeah, I am American. I grew up in Kansas, moved to Florida to pursue the wannabe rock star part, now retired. And so then I actually came to Vancouver last March from Southwest Florida. Career-wise, I started actually the finance end. I started with property management. I handled accounting for about 24 luxury condominium associations. A portion of my career that, if you ever watch Seinfeld, the Del Boca Vista Phase 3 episodes, that's pretty much my life for those 5 years. And then I joined a RE/MAX brokerage group on the finance end, I guess it was about 10 years ago now. So I did that for a while, really was there for the boom and for the bust. After doing that for almost a decade, I was looking for a change. I wanted to see some new things. So I was looking in different markets and different places to go, and Vancouver went on my radar. And I was lucky enough to contact the group that I work for now, saying, you know, here's who I am, here's what I do. You know, if you have anything that you think I would be a good fit for, I would love to speak with you. And the owner, John Listenwall, called me from vacation, actually. And we talked for about 2 hours, and about real estate, but also about, you know, business and about life and our views on, you know, education and what's happening in the industry. And from there, you know, he said, great, I'll have some our ops person call you. And I spoke with John Johnson, who's our director of operations. And by that point, I'd done some research. And he said, you know, what's involved about? And I said, well, I know what I have to do to get a work visa. And then here I was. They made me an offer. And, yeah, it's the best city that I've ever lived in. I'm very fortunate to call Vancouver home now. So, you know, I call myself American-Canadian just because I have really embraced, you know, the country I live in now. I really love it. You know, my first blush with Vancouver, meeting people in a bar in Vegas who are from Vancouver, and you know, it's amazing how chance can play in your life. So in all respects, my life has been much better since I ended up here.
Fantastic. So then let's talk about then your role that then brought you here. What is your actual role with RE/MAX and Metro Vancouver Properties?
Sure. Well, it's funny because it almost changes on a weekly basis. It's been very fluid, which again, I'll give the ownership and Deb Upton, who's the other owner, a lot of credit. You know, where I came in, I was doing a lot with career development. So working with agents from other companies, newer agents, you know, a little bit on the recruiting end. And from there, it kind of morphed into what I do now, which is I'm a business development specialist. So, you know, I help design our training programs with ownership with our managing brokers. I still meet with agents from all over the industry, different companies. And really what it is, it's I'm very retention focused. I think it's well and good to go out and recruit 50 new agents, but I want to make sure when they're here that they're happy and most importantly that they're learning the steps that are needed in an increasingly complex business to be successful. You know, we can't rest on our laurels because of our track record. You know, if we get lazy, I just don't like that at all. I think that agents really, you know, I've been blessed to work with some great agents, but then there's a lot of newer agents who come in that, like most new agents, don't really know what to do. So that's the kind of programs that I work very closely with to try to develop and implement here. And it's a lot of fun. I honestly love what I do for this group.
Dave, we talked about it just before we got on the air. I don't know. We have tech problems. Apparently, we were broadcasting there while other people were looking in. But we started talking about, you know, and maybe this is a good time to talk about it, is we were talking about, you know, the idea that, and we talked about before with teams, that it's sort of that job of a team leader to train and educate and get them ready. And it's not really in the model of the brokerage. Mm-hmm. Unless you're of a certain size, like, you know, well, Valerie Garcia is a different, I mean, the whole region, and we have these people out there, but 10 offices allows a company to say, look, we spend all this energy in recruiting, let's keep them, and therefore that pays for the guy that's going to train these people and keep them there. It's a different model once you get to a certain size that maybe we don't see in our industry enough?
Well, I think so. I mean, we have an economy of size. We have 10 offices, about 575 agents. So, you know, that certainly helps. I do a lot of other things for the group as well that are more on the management side, you know, like communications, admin, things like that. But to your point, I do think in the past, people have kind of let our brokers have let the agents, particularly if they're in a team, as you say, do handle a lot of the training. Although you do have some brokers who are very, you know, interested in teaching and coaching people. You know, it would be great if I could clone Valerie. I was actually going to make a printout Valerie Garcia mask that I was going to put on.
She's stealing my stuff.
Because that's you know, I don't think, you know, honestly, I think a lot of brokers miss the boat on this. I think that it's like dating. We're wooing and we're saying, come over here and we're going to do all these things and we're going to hold the door for you. And then when they come in, it's, okay, here's your first bill and good luck. You know, and back in the day, it was, here's the phone book, start at Z. You know, I don't think that that's right. And particularly with RE/MAX, even with our RE/MAX University and the great training programs that are out there, I think it behooves brokers to have that sense and to have those things in place, what be it accountability groups, whether it's you know, encouraging people to take advantage of the RE/MAX resources. You know, the tyranny of the urgent, particularly from managing brokers, does tend to come into place, but even on smaller offices, you know, when your phone's ringing off the hook. But I really think that it, you know, in an industry that's getting increasingly older, I think it really makes a lot of sense for a brokerage, no matter what your size is, to really look at education and say, okay, what are we doing to develop agents, to develop the talent, you know, because I know for an agent it costs 5 times as much to get a new client versus keeping an old one. Well, I would imagine as a brokerage it's not that much different. So it's something I've always been really passionate about, and to our credit, Deborah Upton, particularly in our ownership group, comes from that sort of a background. And so we've just meshed, and we're working on quite a few different programs just to try to mix things up and help people have a little better shot at making it in this industry.
Well, you know, I would echo exactly what you said. After Michael, when you talked about you have to be so big to be able to afford people to do this. I personally believe that a brokerage, I don't care how big you are, you can't afford not to do retention things and have training and make your, that's how your company's going to grow, because without it, you're not going to grow. And because like Brett said, it doesn't take much. Once you did all this work to get them there, and I've been through this, you get all this work to get them, you're busy off as the broker listing and selling to kind of keep your company running, and you lose sight of something, and next thing you know, that agent, over some silly thing or something they didn't know how to do, or there's no value you as a broker bringing to them, and they leave. So, you know, I just don't think you have much choice as a broker owner, no matter what size you are.
Okay, I had this down further down on the list of things to talk about today, but since we're talking about this right now, let's dovetail this, and then we're going to talk about, you know, Metro Vancouver Properties a bit, about how you guys are number one. But very, very interesting conversation took place in a private RE/MAX Facebook group that Dave and I are both a part of this past week, talking about, you know, having two new agents coming to a certain brokerage down in the States, and then saying, you know, why as a younger person should what can RE/MAX offer me? To be here. And the conversation became extremely interesting, just about, you know, what it takes to recruit new agents or younger agents, and all of us as business people, if we're looking to build our business, we can't ignore the 30-year-olds that are going to be 40-year-olds 10 years from now. We just can't ignore that system about constantly filling your pipeline. And through that conversation, Dave, it became clear to me there's a lot of RE/MAX brokerages where there aren't faces that look like mine, and there's a lot of faces that look like mine in our RE/MAX brokerages. That RE/MAX might appeal quite a bit to the older agent if that's not for established businesses and all this sort of stuff. And maybe because the majority of those agents are older, being able to needing to train because there's such a demand by the younger agents might be less. I know for certain, because they're in my marketplace, out just outside my marketplace, Metro Vancouver Properties is a very hip group of agents. And so when I hear that it's much an older brand, it's interesting. So because we've got two sides of the story here, Dave, what is it? What is it with the younger agents in RE/MAX? And like you say, maybe the brokerage doesn't feel like they have to push forward because they don't have any young agents demanding that they do.
Well, let's...
Big question.
The broker owners, obviously, where Brett just talked about, these guys are young and hip, so it starts with the broker owner, I think. I mean, you know, I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, I guess, but here in New Jersey, most of the broker owners are older. They're over 50 years old, right? And so I, you know, that they're not going to connect and be able to go out and find those young agents. Here in New Jersey, and again, you know, I don't think we're any different than a lot of other regions, because our region's been around a very long time, since right in the beginning. So there just isn't that, you know, there's no connection, at least in my opinion, because the office I work in, it's mainly people over 50 or over 55. I'm probably the average age is over 55. That's my guess.
Okay, then on that note, I want to put it over to Brett too as well. We had we had Travis Robertson on the show. We've talked a lot about the fact that the younger generation enjoys collaboration. They enjoy working together and building off each other. So if I was a younger agent, 29 years old, I walked into the office and there wasn't anyone that looked like me, and I wanted to collaborate and I wanted to build my business alongside other people, I think that's a deterrent too as well. I think one of the things that Metro Vancouver Properties does is because there's a lot of people that look like me there, that if I moved to Vancouver, I would feel comfortable in that environment. So maybe it is a little bit of self-fulfilling prophecy, but Brett, talk to me a little bit. Has it been an intentional thing? Is it just the vibe of Vancouver? What is it that has a lot of younger agents? And not just there's younger. There's some agents there that are over 45, 50, but are still fairly hip. I mean, what is it about Vancouver Metro Properties?
Well, I mean, Vancouver's Vancouver, right? It's a very diverse place. It's a very artsy kind of community, you know. But past all that, I think part of it, you know, and I ran into this in Southwest Florida, obviously. It's where the world comes to die quite often, and so the average age was, you know, higher. You know, I think it starts partially...
Dave liked that. Dave liked that comment, by the way.
Yeah, actually, we call that God's waiting room.
Exactly. I think when you look at RE/MAX particularly, first off, you know, when you look at the history of it, it really was where you went. You went and cut your, you know, and sowed your wild oats, as it were, somewhere else. And then once you built that book of business, then you graduated to RE/MAX. I think past that, you know, obviously we've tried to go past that and say, you know, why not start here? You know, as a new agent who's not doing anything, the balloon gives you a certain cachet that you're not going to get with XYZ Realty. I think part of it, too, is we are a full-service brokerage model. There's other national models that are full service as well. You know, when you have to pay slightly higher fees, although not as high as people, listen, agents, if they're telling you it's more, talk to a RE/MAX person, we'll tell you what the fees really are. But when you have to pay those higher fees, a lot of younger folks just don't have the money saved up, right? So when you're first starting and you go to 100% commission and you're used to that paycheck for every 2 weeks, it is slightly more difficult. Our group, we have a few younger managers. We have a few that are a little older. Our demographic per office, we do have offices that are slightly older and some that are younger. You know, I think that certainly what we look for is a certain type of agent that matches our culture, you know, just no matter what their age is. I think that that, to us, is more of a fit to bring somebody in. You know, I have a big passion about going for the younger agents, not ignoring them, because I look at it almost like the Tampa Bay Rays in my old market. Instead of going out and paying for high-priced free agents, which didn't get them very far, they built the best farm system, and then every year, despite being a small market team, they're in the World Series, they're in the hunt. So, you know, I want to find those people that we can actually grow with, that are coachable. You know, A and B, there's a great, you know, the one thing that a lot of younger folks don't have is that book of business, is that huge circle of people who are able to buy properties. So when you mix that with the older agents who are maybe looking for some tech help or just somebody to help them out, you know, I think that there's a lot of opportunities there for mentorship type of programs, for, you know, I don't want to say internship type of programs, but where you can pair people up who would be a good fit and really develop that talent. To me, that's the, you know, that's really an advantage of a brokerage. You know, one of the best things I ever heard, it was one of the franchise salespeople for RE/MAX. I was at a conference in Florida, and he said, what most brokers miss is they don't join you because of you. You need to take the broker ego and put it aside. They're going to join you because they like your marketing, because it's a nice place to work. You know, your fee structure works for them, but they will absolutely leave because of what you do. And then they'll tell other agents. So, you know, I think that that makes it even more critical that when you tell them you're going to do these things, that you must deliver and that you must do so in a way that they feel like they're not just another button in a desk, that it's somebody you care about their business you know, and you understand they're an entrepreneur. You know, we don't hire agents. Agents hire us. And I think a lot of brokers miss that. And you know, personally, I try to do things so that whenever I see the agents, whenever I work with these agents, particularly younger agents, I point out those opportunities and say, you know, look, guys, it might be a rough go for a year or two, but you can do these things and do them well and learn the good habits to start, and you're going to be light years ahead. So, you know, I think you're going to have to continue to address that as time goes on, and I'd rather be ahead of that game than playing catch up in 10 years when half your realtors retire.
Well, it's coming pretty quick because the average age, is, at least in the United, in for NAR, is over 55.
Yeah, it's 55. And the average home buyer is, what, 35, I think I saw.
Right, so you blink your eyes, and these agents are all, you know, they're slowly retiring. So there better be some new agents coming along behind them.
Absolutely.
And I also think not only, Dave, will age and time force their retirement, even quicker now, change will force retirement. Because we talk about on the show a lot, we're just getting started with the way this business has changed, and we will get into a great article that Brett wrote for Inman News a week ago or a couple days ago, almost exactly on this topic. But let's talk about, in the big picture of things, what can you credit Metro Vancouver Properties? They're the number one group of offices. Yeah. In the REMAX system worldwide, 4 out of the last 5 years.
For sales volume, yeah.
For sales volume.
Well, obviously, I mean, it starts and ends with the agents. I mean, that's, you know, it. My dad told me once when I first worked in sales, you know, if you're going to sell something expensive. So it certainly does help that we're in this market. But past that, I really think what it is you have a lot of, in our group, very passionate, savvy business people who understood. I think partly because of our corporate culture, that it's not just going out there and leading a transactional life where I always call it the monkey bars approach, where you just swing from deal to deal, that you have to have that business plan in place, that you have to have, you know, an end goal and things that you're doing every day to keep generating business, and you really are an entrepreneur. It's not just lip service. It's not just, well, we're glad you're an independent contractor so we don't have to pay your payroll taxes, that you actually are working with these folks to help them increase their business. Our ownership group, John and Elaine Lichtenwald, Deborah Upton, you know, amazing, amazing business people. John is one of those guys that if you've never thought about a career in real estate in your life, you spend 5 minutes talking to him, and not only do you want to have the balloon in your life, you want to take one to work every day. He is just this ball of energy that is really infectious, and I think, you know, that helps. It helps when you're not competing against perhaps, you know, your broker's manager. Most of our brokers don't sell. They might sell a little bit to past clients, but they're really there to help the agents. And, you know, there's other companies in our market and in other markets. You know, when you're walking into a REMAX brokerage and your broker's name's on the front door and you're competing with that guy for listings, you know, that's a bit of an advantage. So I think that's part of it too. But I just think it's a situation where you have a good culture of success, and we have a very open nature. A lot of our older agents are happy to work with younger agents. We've done some top producer panels that are always very well attended. You know, and another quote is, you know, it's hard to soar with the eagles when you're surrounded by turkeys. And I think we've all been in those offices where nobody's sold anything for a while, and it just sucks the life out of you. So, you know, we do try to monitor how agents are doing. If we haven't seen them for a while, give them a call. Hey, how are things going? And just doing everything we can to help them be successful. So, you know, I have to give the agents all the credit. That's their award, you know, and you know, it's pretty staggering just to think of that kind of a track record. When I was in Vegas at R4, you know, my first R4 with this group in March, it was I had to pinch myself that I'm fortunate enough to work with these professionals. It really is something special.
Question actually from Terry.
Hi, Terry. I didn't know that she had a new business called Voiceovers That Matter, but I look forward to checking.
Yes, Voiceovers That Matter, exactly. She wants to know how you how your office markets your deliverables to attract agents.
Sure. Well, we do a lot with, and obviously with the new spam laws, we're kind of looking at that. You know, we do a lot with email, of course. We kind of have some of our managers particularly have an attitude, you know, we want to be your manager before we're your manager. So one of our managers sends out FAQ videos about real estate topics that will go out to the list. It's just information. I'm getting ready to start doing a series of social media quick hits that we'll be sending out as well. So that's part of it. And the other thing is, you know, we don't sell people on RE/MAX. One of the first things that I'll say to somebody when I speak to them is like, look, I'm not here to sell you on RE/MAX. If you wanted that, you would have called me, right? I wouldn't have called you. But instead what I do is I like to sit down with agents, no matter what name's on their sign, and just look at, hey, tell me your story. How are you doing business? What kind of things are you looking to do? And if I see matches where maybe we can help with either a RE/MAX system and our system, you know, all I ask them to do is really just do a CMA on their business. And, you know, it's amazing, too, there's some misinformation in the market about what fee structures are and things. But, you know, what I'll tell an agent is, you know, if you think in 1 year you can get one extra deal, one extra listing by having the name RE/MAX on your business card, well, then why are we talking about fees when the average commission is $6,000, $7,000? And it's amazing how that kind of ends that conversation. So then we get away from fees and we talk about what they're looking for. So that's really partly how we do it. And then, you know, agent word of mouth. You know, if our agents are happy and when they're out with their other friends and they're complaining that they can never get their broker on the phone or, you know, I can't stand the fact our website looks like this. And if our agents can say, you know, I can't complain. I really love where I work. I'd rather have those 575 recruiters in the market versus somebody cold calling and you know, hassling people on LinkedIn. So, you know, I think that that's, you know, that's our strategy is we want our results to speak for themselves and we want to work, talk with people, have an honest discussion about their business and see if it's a good fit. Because for some people, it's just not a good fit.
Sounds a whole lot like culture, eh, Dave?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's like how we build our business, have a lot of great, happy, past clients and word of mouth will happen for you. So it's interesting.
Well, and we're developing a new agent training program that actually happens during while you're getting your license period. You know, and we all know if you've been through the class, you know, you, as I put in the last article, you get a book about this big, you learn how to not get sued, how to calculate mortgages, but you don't learn how to be a real estate agent. And one of the first things we do is with people who are interested in this program, which is beta and we're just getting ready to launch it, is we're going to send them a survey to ask a lot of questions and find out more about them. And because it's not about you coming and spending money to be with our company. If we can save you thousands of dollars because you're clearly not a good fit for this industry, either by speaking with a career counselor or speaking with, you know, some of our agents or whatever, you know, some people just, it's not the right business for them. So, you know, we'd rather at a point say, you know what, I don't think this is a good fit, then just take everybody who comes to the door. You know, we do try to be a little bit more choosy these days about who we invite to join in and who we are hopefully being invited by them. You know, you have to have the push away power if you don't think it'll be a good fit.
Yeah, and once again, that echoes for us as agents too. I mean, there's a lot of buyers and sellers that we should push away to as well. We should be qualifying everyone we work with. It seems like business common sense, Dave.
Yep, it is.
Want to talk about an article that you wrote on Inman News, and I know that Dave reads every article that comes through Inman News, and I know that Dave wrote it, but it was very, very interesting. It was called The Latest Real Estate Curveball, Coming Soon, Listings Present Opportunity. And
yeah,
we were talking about the Zillow Coming Soon feature that they're going to allow or promote properties that aren't on the market yet but are coming soon sort of thing. And so when I started reading the article, Brett, I kind of thought that's what the article was going to be about, the actual Zillow Coming Soon feature. And the article's really not about that as much as it is about the overall philosophy of where we are in our industry. So I really want to sort of dig in for the next 10 minutes, have the three of us dig in on this topic a little bit. But why don't you give people a little bit of an overview about that article and sort of the points that you were trying to make?
Well, you know, I started writing for Inman in April, and my previous pieces have been really more from the agent business development side. I did a whole series on specialization. You know, I started by writing a rebuttal to a Forbes piece about are agents even necessary now in the age of technology? And I have actually after our dinner, I had a piece that I was working on called The Tyranny of the Urgent, which is going to be coming, Terry, thank you. When I found out and read more about this issue, it was something that I really kind of debated if I should wade into. It's a hot button topic. But I decided, you know what, I really feel like there's a bigger issue here. So I kind of took a leap off that board and put my neck out there a bit, and the response has been pretty crazy. But yeah, it's really it starts from there. But really, what it is examining the underlying issue why I think what the discussion should be, which is basically the ever-changing real estate industry and the reaction that agents tend to have to these new changes. And it's been, I know I got an email from Gina yesterday, I think it's around 5,000 hits that article's had. I've received emails from agents all over. I've waded into a few Facebook discussions, so which is really what I wanted. I wanted to hopefully open up a conversation. You know, I could have just highlighted as a reporter aspect, here's exactly how it works. I just, quite frankly, I thought that had been done to death, so I wanted to kind of tackle it from a new angle.
Yeah, and we I mean, just like every single thing we hear about in this business is, and you know what, Nathan Dart, I mean, the first 20 minutes of last week's show was just so incredible. A person that's saying, don't get caught in complacency, don't get caught in your ego, the business changed for him dramatically. He learned a ton from it. He's a better agent now. Like, all this, the fax machine's going to ruin it, and oh, I can't believe I don't have a catalog anymore, and it's just every single time, every year, it comes along and something's going to ruin our business. But here's the amazing part. Zillow coming soon listings can't hold your hand. Like, when it comes down to it, a buyer and seller wants you there to hold their hand, belly to belly, face to face, still got to put them in your car. And no Zillow, Trulia, Realtor.com, nothing will ever replace that. Perhaps down the road there is a brokerage model that will change, and maybe the way, that's access will change. I don't see forever the fact that working with an agent realtor and agent, that can't replace holding their hand. Coming soon doesn't get you through the process. It shocks me that we get bogged down in this, Dave. And from a guy that's been through it, from where nothing changed for 20 years and everything's changing every day now, what's your view on this article?
Well, things did change in that period of time. When I started a long time ago, we had these sheets of paper that got delivered to our office with the new listings, right? We put them in a book, and our office had them all, right? Nobody else. So the realtors tried to get in there. You can't come in here and look at all the MLS. Go back to your own office because ours were accurate. Then along came the computer. An IDX, and everybody freaked out. Oh, IDX, you can put my listings on my competitor's website? Oh, no, you can't do that. For salebyowner.com. I mean, there have been so many, and I'm guilty of the beginning of my career up until, I don't even know exactly when, but to a point where I just started ignoring all of that stuff and doing what Michael just said. Put my head down, go to work, put people into my sphere, send them out personal notes, belly to belly, give them great service and bring them value, and they're going to refer people to me, and I've got a flourishing referral business. And that's how you have to do it. You have to just somehow find a way to ignore these things and don't believe that you're going to get put out of business. Good customer service, good bring good value to your clients, always is going to win out over all of these things. I'm not afraid of Zillow. I'm going to use Zillow to just get me a few more clients and put them into my own little business model here, and I'm just going to keep moving forward. Don't be afraid of any of this stuff.
There you go.
It's going to happen. You're not changing it.
And what if the Zillow coming through thing is beneficial to the seller? Let's say it is. Well, then isn't that – and if it's not, it'll go away. Like, I just don't
– market. Like, the market will take care of it. If there really is a place in the marketplace, we had a company here, and you guys might have had it, called Help You Sell. Mm-hmm. They had these little fee schedules, and everybody was freaking out around here. And all I said was, if the consumer wants it, and there's a place in the market for it, then you don't have nothing to complain about. We live in a capitalist society; it's the way it's supposed to be. If they come up with something that's going to work, God bless them. And as it turns out here, it didn't work at all. So just. The chips will fall where they may. The water's going to go over the waterfall and get where it's supposed to go.
I think there's some facts I think that, first off, people keep glossing over. This is designed, as I've read it and understand it, it's a pre-listing, really, advertisement that you're going to run. And so there's a lot of comments I'm reading, and they're assuming, okay, A, this property is not listed, first of all. And especially when they're talking about well, now you're going to exclude, you know, exclude cooperating brokers. Well, no, if your client sends you that listing off of Zillow and you present an offer, you know, last time I looked, the listing contract tends to be what says where your co-broke commission is. Not just because you throw it in the MLS, because we all know that little phrase down at the bottom of the MLS. You know, it's perceived to be accurate, but, you know, double check, that kind of thing. So that's number one. Number two is, you know, and one of the best comments I saw on any of this was, I guess, you know, if you feel like you can be replaced by a website, you're probably going to be. And I think that really rings true. That is, you know, and in my previous market, you had these companies who would, you know, you'd pay $250 and their idea of listing a property is putting it in MLS. You know,
Brett, could you say that again? If you said, if you think you're being, that you're
you
going to
be replaced by a website, you probably will be.
Well, how about if you
I
think
that was my
website, you probably should be.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think that the larger issue is, and to Dave's point, you know, even when I bought my first property, it was back in those kind of go in the dark room, and I wrote about this in one of them. I teased it, and you know, you see all the, you know, the wards on the wall, and then they pull out the listings like this holy grail. You know, we can't always be the guardians of the information. It's you know, we can't say, you know, being a professional isn't because we get access to better stuff than you can. It's about the ability to take information and process it and explain it and bring your client so that they make an educated, informed decision that's best for them. You know, and if I'm a seller, is it better for me to list with an agent who does nothing to promote my listing other than throw it in the MLS, which we all know a lot of agents, that's what they do. Hopefully not RE/MAX agents or anybody watching this, but we all know those agents. Or somebody says, you know what, maybe we can get a little buzz on your property. We'll throw it in there for that 72-hour period, maybe get some nibbles, and it'll give us some feedback. You know, are we listed too high? You know, what kind of, I mean, we get some offers in so that we can say, hey, look, you know, it's, we just want to kind of know where we're at there. It's just another way of getting eyes on a listing. And you know, if you can't be bothered to check one extra website when you're doing a property search for your client, as opposed to just having that memorized search in the MLS, you know, it's not like it's that tough to do. So, you know, I am with you, Michael. I've been very surprised by some of the slippery slope arguments that I've seen thrown out there. And you know, and if your MLS doesn't allow things like this, it's not an issue for you. You're not going to have to deal with it. So, you know, to me, kudos to Zillow to see that niche as a place to make revenue, and kudos to agents who see it as another place I can advertise my listings that will get eyes on them.
Well, it's funny that we're talking about this too, because I mean, it's almost not common practice, but I mean, talking with Raj Kazar, you know, on our live bat around panel, he says that he takes a listing exclusive, he gets the photos done, he gets all that sort of stuff because he needs to have them under contract to allow them to start spending money, right? And yeah. and then he releases it 15 days later. We have now, I think it started like 5 years ago, whatever it is, you could post date your listings. So you could have your listing's effective date be a week and a half from now. Mm-hmm. The whole thing that we used to do was get it out of the market as soon as we possibly can. But we now, our team, Jordan, Trish, and I, like, you know, yours is going to hit a week from now so that we can get the write-up, the photos done, the video done, all that sort of stuff mm-hmm. done. So how different is that? How different is me teasing out an Instagram video saying, coming soon to Fort Langley, this two-bedroom, like without giving the address or just teasing it out? How is that any different? I see agents doing that all the time. And, I mean, we're doing it by the book. We're allowed to do that. They're under contract. But it seems to me that we are going out of our way to be distracted by stuff that really doesn't matter. And we've said it on the show before is, I'm glad I'm not the keeper of the data anymore. That's not my value proposition. If that's my value proposition, then what differentiates me? I have the same data as everyone else. There's no differentiation of it. You know, I just think we get bogged down to that. And Dave, I kind of feel like I love this show and I love doing Mobile Agent TV and our audience is fantastic, but it seems to always be these same four or five common themes every single episode that we might look at it from a different angle. But hard work, you know, do your job, belly to belly, you know, add value, take care of a customer, always do what's right, culture, video, paperless, it just always seems to be the same topics.
It does, and it's all, again, the bottom line, it's all about bringing value to your client. You know, you've heard me say it all along, the noise, all of the noise. There's every day there's a new app, there's a new this, it's going to be the magic bullet, it's going to make you make $100,000 tomorrow morning. It's all a bunch of crap, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, just... Hey, you know, I don't know. it's overwhelming. I can see how a brand new agent or even an older agent who has not embraced any of this change is just ignoring it because they think that, well, I have to do all of this stuff. They don't. They don't. They really don't.
Okay, Dave, but on that note, let's discuss what you just said because it's an interesting point. You said ignore it, make it go away, and then you also say, you know, if you're complacent, you're not moving forward, you're not adapting, you're also, it is a slippery, not a slippery slope, but it's a fine line between staying relevant, pushing forward, and not getting distracted. And I think that's where a lot of agents have problems, is that they're either going to ignore it, or they're going to go all in and be distracted, and it's a little bit of both. And I think
it is. It's the noise. You got to ignore the noise. And my definition of the noise is all of it. There's all of this stuff out there, and it's coming at you every time you open your email, every time you watch mobile agent TV. There's something that we have something else, or whatever it is in the news. All of this stuff. There's all of this information we never had before, and change is happening so fast that you just have to figure out what's real, what's not noise, and what's real. That's the challenge in my mind for any real estate agent today. What's real? What's the real value? You know, what's real here? Well, and I guess the measure that I would say is if it brings value to your clients, really brings value to your clients, then I guess that's what you should be listening to.
Brett, what's real and what noise?
I was going to say, we see those, you know, we've seen the NAR stats. We know that 9% of buyers were found online, and 4% of sellers found their agents online. You know, so we're talking about a very small portion of what should your business should be. It should be repeat and referral clients. And you know, I think that, you know, there's always going to be that new shiny thing. And we're guilty of it too. You know, we're always pushing things out, and you've seen it. You know, Global Remax comes out, and then all of a sudden the other big brokers have some of the same things. And it's, you know, if your whole platform is built on the newest technology, you know, the thing that people miss is, again, it's a people business. It's human beings. And, you know, I'll have agents who will say, you know, do I need to be on the Twitter? Well, if you call the Twitter, no. You know, it's like I tell people, if your profile picture is an egg and your last post was in April 2011, delete it, because, you know, you don't have to be amazing at social media, but it sure as heck can't suck at it. And you know, just know what you're good at and do that. And, you know, and there's so many distractions, particularly with tech. I've never been a fan of tech for tech's sake. It's always, can it help me do my job better and help me deliver a superior client experience? And if I can do that both at once, that's a tool I look at. You know, I think the aerial tours with the drones, those are cool. You know, that looks nice, but am I going to drop $2,000 on it as an agent or whatever? No, I'd probably maybe hire it for a listing. But, you know, to get back to what you said about the teasing listings, you know, this morning in my Facebook feed, I had at least three agents who had, oh, new listing next week, four bedrooms on a lake, message me for details. And to the people who have barely been against this coming soon and things, you know, is it, you know, before when, if you had that listing and the only way before technology was involved, what would you do? You'd go to your sales meeting and we'd match up buyers and sellers. You know, I've got a three bedroom coming up next week. It's going to be a $289,900. Oh, great. That you didn't have as a broker, as an agent from another company, you had no shot at that. So now you do, and they're still saying, oh, well, you know, it's not fair. It's like, you know, how is that not better? At least now you're hearing about these things before they come on the market, whereas before you truly didn't have a shot. So, you know, it's, you know, when it comes to working with clients, the thing I always say is if you can give somebody something they can't Google, that will set you apart. You know, and I'm with you. It's great to have a lot of information, but if you can't explain it, and if it's not relevant to your client, you know, you have to deliver something of value where they're going to go somewhere else. Yeah.
Great point. You had a couple great articles about personal branding. And the reason why I want to talk about it again on the show is we haven't talked about it for a number of weeks, but you had a nice spin on it too as well. But it's interesting to hear what you have to say about it, Brett, because Remax has such an incredible brand. In our area, Metro Vancouver Properties has such a very strong brand and presence. And then the individual agent is looking to identify their particular value proposition within those two umbrellas. And you had some great advice and some great insight. So where do you stand? What advice can you go to agents that are trying to find their voice and find their personal brand?
Well, you know, I think actually the first thing I'll say is, again, it starts with a quote from my old man, which was, You know, he said, it doesn't matter what you choose to do in life. If you're the best in the world at it, you're probably going to be successful. And it could be the silliest niche, you know, juggling, jacks. You know, if you can juggle a stack of jacks better than anybody else in the world, you're probably going to be successful. I think what it is knowing your strengths, knowing your weaknesses, and having, again, that business plan in place. And, you know, you can sure go out there and big or small, I'll list it all, and it doesn't matter. But, when you're competing against thousands of other agents, if you can't explain to me why I should choose you, when I meet you, how are you going to do that to a client? I'm not buying a $500,000 condo from you. So I think part of it as a new agent, it's so much easier to play to your strength. And in my music career, I saw a lot of bands that when the market would change and maybe this style of music was popular, they'd switch and try to copycat these other bands, and it never works because they can tell if you're being genuine. I would never be in a country band. I don't like country music. So if I was up there in my Wranglers, I'm not going to give a good performance because it's not what I'm passionate about. So, find the things that work for you and concentrate on that. You know, don't say you're a luxury agent if you have never sold a luxury property or if you never lived in that type of an area. Take a look at your market. You can do that SWOT analysis, see where maybe there's some opportunities. And then I touched on the lifestyle branding, which I think is great. Mark Jurok, the sci-fi realtor guy, sticks in your head because I knew that guy. In our own group, we have a car-free realtor. We have the flexible realtor who is a yoga, aficionado. Whatever works for you. My friend Jen Berry, who I lovingly call Cookie Monster, she's a great baker. She bakes cookies for everybody. Incorporate bits of you into that. It will help you stay memorable because it is a lot of noise, as Dave says. So, don't be afraid of the balloon. But, you don't have to triple down on it and wear a red, white, and blue suit. But, you have to know your strengths to be that brand within the brand. The Remax helps you sell it and helps you take it to another level. Referrals, obviously, makes you more referable. It takes you top of mind with client. You don't ever have to explain who your company is. They know who Remax is. But I think if you really want to be successful, you have to find your niche, because the one thing that will connect with people is if you're passionate about it. Truly, it's something you love. So if there's a certain area of your town, man, I just love it over there. That's where I want to live. Well, maybe that's the place that you should be farming. Maybe that's the place that you should direct your marketing. And the last thing I'll say is there's very few industries where specialists don't make more money than generalists. So, have that, dial it in, make it your niche, and do it well. You don't have to be Tim Hortons. There's plenty of room for Cafe Artigianos and these little cafes because that's their niche. They know what they do well, and they do it excellent every time. So I think a lot of agents miss that step of business planning. I think they just jump in there and, I just got to get signs in the ground. But, you got to have a plan first. And I think the branding, you have to be genuine. You have to really embrace who you are, and you're going to be a lot more successful.
It's an interesting conversation, too, because I was on a social media panel a couple weeks ago, and the question came up from the audience, do you incorporate your personal stuff and your business stuff, or you keep them absolutely separate? Mm-hmm. And one of the people on the panel says, no, absolutely keep them separate, and the other three people went, like, what are you talking about? I don't think your personal brand is anything other than who you are. I don't think you can have a personal brand that's just business. I don't even know what that would be. I know what Dave's personal brand is. Without, it's not a logo. It's Dave. I know what Vanessa's. It's Vanessa. It's not, and so it's playing to that. It's being authentic. And if you can tagline it by saying, the flexible or whatever, the Jedi realtor or whatever you want, sci-fi realtor. If you want to tag, fine. But ultimately, that's just putting a label on who you are and what differentiates yourself. It's the very first one of the very first conversations I ever had with Dave. The fact that he's a Mets fan. I mean, that's personal brand, and I think we get bogged down with brand, and we certainly have had these discussions before where we think it's a logo and a tagline, and it's the absolute farthest from the truth. It's about a way of expressing who you are and what your skill set is, and I think a lot of people don't see their own personal brand because they're too close, and it's an exercise that I'm doing for a good friend right now where it's like, describe who I am, have other people tell what your strengths are, and that sort of becomes your personal brand. And I think we get bogged down in it, and I think you have to, in this day and age, put yourself out, put your personal stuff out there. If that means you're, you know, you're in church groups or you're in Little League or whatever it is, I mean, that's your personal brand in the community. And Dave, you've been, you're who you are. That's it.
That wasn't always that way.
No, but
when I
don't
think... in the real estate business, I wore the tie. I mean, believe me, I came from a blue-collar background, and I'm running around as a new real estate agent, and I really wasn't who I was. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of interesting. There was a time when I had a ponytail. I had hair, and I had a ponytail, and I didn't really care. It was like I don't care what I look. You know, I dress neat and all that. I wear jeans. I made more money in that period of time than I did when I was wearing the suit. And being who I wasn't, I mean, you know, you meet people, you meet like people, and it's who you are is who you are.
People are going to work with you because they like you. And 2/3 of clients find their only interview one agent. So if they like you and feel like you're going to have their best interests, you know, I'm unapologetically me. The reason my name is Remax Jedi is because I'm a Star Wars geek. A Google search will tell anybody that. You know, I went to Tunisia to tour the film sites. That's probably why I'm divorced, right? So, you know, that's who I am. And I think that if I was back in the sales end, people would work with me because they like me. They like my personality, and they feel like they can connect with me. And I think
Sheldon from the Big Bang Theory.
It just makes you generic, how can you rise above that clutter? And it's not by being generic. And what do I have to do to put you in a house today? You have to be yourself, and that's why they're going to work with it. And so many like the drip campaigns and things. It's amazing how many agents never customize their website, never customize their drip campaigns, and then wonder why they don't do more business. Because I don't know who you are.
Yeah, well,
I have no idea who you are.
Yeah, one of the I'll update you. It just came through the feed in a sec, Dave. But one of the things that frustrates me about this show and shows like this is that the people that are on the call right now that are watching this and they're going to watch the replay aren't necessarily the people that really need to see this stuff, because there is some sort of buy-in the fact that things are changing. They're here to learn something. They're here. Some people are here to get four nuggets. Some here are to get one. You know, and some people are just, you know. This is the hour they spend to be surrounded by people that keep them with the eagles and not with the turkeys. That comes off sounding like an eagle thing. But you know what I mean? Being surrounded by a different guest every week that helps them see things differently. I that's the part. There's so many people in our industry where you said, what was it in your one of the stats, that 20 to 30% of the people don't sell a property or less than a property a year or something like that, and then we're wondering why we have as an industry an image issue? I mean... What was the stat, Brett, in that one article?
Well, there was a stat I had read that said in some markets, 20 to 30% of the licensed agents never sell a single piece of property that year. And that is really more why I'm speaking to the licensing. You know, licensing to me is just a quick barrier to entry, right? It's really what it is. So when we talk about improving the industry, you know, I don't think there's a big rush to make the licensing process encapsulate more of how you become a real estate professional, because quite frankly, the municipalities, the boards, they make a lot of money off these annual dues that these people are paying even if they're not doing business. So I think that means the people who are working in the industry day in, day out, it's up to us to really to try to push things and to try to do things the right way and the way that we think that the business should go. Because the consumer ultimately is going to choose. And if those are the agents who keep getting all the business, well, then, you know, you separate the wheat from the chaff, and then they're going to get out of the business. So, I think that too often, it's just like going to a real estate conference. You know, when you're at R4, almost all the people at R4 are really successful agents who don't really need to hear the basics. And it's trying to reach the ones that are doing one or two deals a year and have no idea what's going on. How do you educate those folks and how do you get them re-engaged? And I think that, again, comes down to a broker level. You know, we need to call. We need to pick up the phone. You know, we look at our group and find out who's doing well, who's not. And there's some agents that sell 2-3 properties a year. That's all they want to sell. That's fine with them. Our group, we don't have part-time agents. You cannot be a part-time agent. You have to be full-time. Some places, that's fine. So every company is going to run their business their own way, just like every agent will run their business their own way. So, all we can do is things like this. And I get emails and DMs from people all over and different. I don't care if you're with Remax or with Keller Williams or, you know, not to sound like people who say they're not racist, but, you know, some of my best friends are with Keller Williams or Century 21. You know, I don't care. I'll talk to you, not about Remax, but I like talking to people about their business. And I do that often for people all over the place because I genuinely love the industry I'm in, and I like to talk shop, and I like to help people. And I feel like it'll come back karma. I mean, I don't sell right now. I can't get referrals. But it doesn't mean I can't help people and hopefully do what I can to help the industry. So, you know, not that I'm anything special, but it's just if every agent who I think does things the right way has that mentality, then I think things will get better as time goes on.
Dave, where do you think we are as far as that, you know, keeping your head down? And then, tide raises all boats, sort of an attitude towards the industry, because you love this industry. Where do you weigh in to
our... Dave, as do you. I mean, that's my one thought when I spoke with you the first time. This is a guy who gets it. This is a guy who wakes up thinking about what can I do to help my business but also help this industry. People like Terry, like Valerie... and some of the other folks that we interact with a lot, Mel, you can sense it. You're just around them in Travis. You can just feel that energy. You know, Katie Lance, you know, they're heading harder in the right place. I called it real estate porn when I was about our dinner with you and Val and Terry. It's just, we're just all like little kids talking about the new Star Wars movie or something. We're just so excited and talking about the industry and, oh, this is great. And this wouldn't it be great if this happened. I think if you have that hunger and you have that love of the business, success will find you.
You can measure your whole life by this one thing, and it all connects with all of this. Life is not about what you get; it's about what you give. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's kind of what this is all about. This Mobile Agent TV, Michael and I are on the same page about giving, giving, giving. We just love sharing this stuff, and it's pay. It's this quiet thing on the side. It pays us. You know, serve your client. You don't even have to worry. Don't worry about the money. Just go out and serve and go out and give and share, and you're going to get paid. You're going to get paid more than you could imagine. But if you have that other mindset that I'm just here for the money and I don't care about share and I don't care about any of that, you're just not – it's not going to work. You're going to be miserable. You're going to die with nothing. It's just the way it is.
Your clients can tell. They can smell that desperation, you know.
Yep.
And it doesn't have to just be in your market. You know, I think right now or eventually, my friends Arnani and Lace, who are with Remax in Brazil, this is probably the only day they would watch this because there's no World Cup today. That's one of the things I like about the conference. I meet agents from all over North America and beyond. But at the end of the day, the reason why referral business works so well and those conferences are so great for that is because it is a people business. And agents in Brazil or somebody who's the CEO of Remax Brazil faces a lot of the same issues that we do in Little Oak or Vancouver or, you know, Tampa or wherever. So, that's why I love things like this. Tools like Twitter, which, you know, the answer is why should I be on Twitter? To learn from your other agents, you know, and then watch this cocktail party video that Michael made. That is really the continuing education part, again, where I think a lot of agents miss the boat. They get their license, they get their post-license, and then that's it. And, boy, you just miss out so much. You know, the more you learn, the more you earn, and that's been study after study shows that. And you can learn from your fellow agents, too, and for resources like this. So, you know, good on you guys for having something like this.
Let me do a little commercial here.
Yeah.
Do a little commercial here. If you're in New Jersey and you're in the middle of central New Jersey and you want to be – you're a young agent and you want to start out at Harvard University instead of kindergarten, give me a call if you're serious about being in the business. And only 2 out of 8, 10 of you are going to make it. Mm-hmm. But you'll have the best chance if you call me. And we'll put you on our team and we'll get you rolling in the right direction.
There you go.
Beauty.
Beautiful. We've helped someone out. So that's, you know what, Dave, what you just finished off, not there, but the previous one too as well, was a great takeaway. I think we've got the show wrapped up. I apologize. There's the authenticity of our show. We started out a little rough. I hope we didn't say anything at the beginning that we didn't know what we were on the air about, but I think we're good.
You can edit that out, right?
Well, I don't know. I'll try to figure it out. So Brett, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's awesome. It's great to get to know you, not only through social, and then get to know you in person, and we see things a lot eye to eye. Love the fact that you and your group are in around our marketplace, because you're a great example. The whole Metro Vancouver Properties is a great example of what can be done when there's culture and pushing forward. And congrats on all the success you guys and your group of companies have had. Brett, how do people get a hold of you and maybe the Metro Vancouver Properties Group?
Sure. Well, I'm Brett, B-R-E-T, at metrovp.ca, or Remax Jedi on Twitter. I'm on LinkedIn. I have an About Me page, which I think is my link on Twitter. So, as I said, I really enjoy interacting with people no matter where they're from. So I always hope people take time to say hello. And that's one of the best things about this industry is you do get to meet people like yourself and Dave. And, I feel very blessed to be in this industry. It's a very positive industry, what we do, I think. So, anybody can say hello. And if you hate my writing, then tell me you hate my writing. If you like my article, hey, great, that's good too. But if I made you think, then that's really, then that was my mission. So, mission accomplished, and yeah, we'll go from there. So yeah, please say hi anytime, and thanks again for having me. I really appreciate it.
Awesome, awesome show, Brett. Next week is someone's birthday. It's the United States' birthday, so we're taking the day off. No July 4th show. And on that note, on July 1st is Canada's birthday, so we'll be celebrating here, and then a few days later, the States will be celebrating, so I think we return to the air on July the 11th. We've got some amazing show and guest lined up, and I really want to thank about three or four people have reached out this week with here's who you should have on the show, and some of the guests that have been put forward are like people we would never have been able to connect with, Dave, so we've got some really interesting shows coming up. So we will return July 11th, 10 o'clock Pacific, 1 o'clock Eastern. If you have any referrals heading out to the East Coast of the United States, get a hold of Dave. He'll get you in the hands of the right REMAX agent. Any referrals coming out to the West Coast of Canada, get a hold of me, and I'll get you in the hands of the right REMAX agent, or Brett, I guess. Either way, it's going to end up with somebody from their team anyway. So get you in the hands of the right REMAX agent. And as Melanie Gallia of REMAX Fort McMurray wants us to end every show, please tell five other REMAX agents about Mobile Agent TV. It's the reason why we can reach out to really, really smart people like Brett, have him come on the show, give us an hour of his time, and we can all sit in and listen in and learn and improve what we do. So, Brett, thank you so much for giving us an hour of your time. Dave, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Enjoy July 4th. I know you'll do it up big. You'll probably go out and get a tattoo of an American flag on your shoulder, and we'll be all happy about that.
And I get to celebrate both, so I'm
oh, that's right. You get two parties. You get two
parties. 5 o'clock somewhere.
Thanks, Brett. Thanks, Dave. Thank you, everyone, for watching. We'll see you in 2 weeks.